It's been a blessing to be here this weekend. On Friday, we recognized and celebrated the life of a woman who was part of this congregation for all of her life, 89 years. It was a wonderful celebration of Nell Alger's life. Yesterday, a block party. Thanks to everybody who worked on that and did the painting and bringing old cars and trucks. It was wonderful. A lot of work, I'm sure. And this morning, it's good to gather again in this space. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is what I was drawn to when I was invited to share this morning. That's our call, I believe. But the reality is, on the other hand, we often need to pivot or turn, adjust our lens, and refocus our lives on Christ. Fixing our eyes on Jesus at the center is sort of a theological understanding, more than a geographical place. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. No, I'm not going to talk about history today. It would be easy with chapter 11. There are 16 people who walked by faith that are mentioned in chapter 11. This great cloud of witnesses in church history, also in the Old Testament. The writer says, as we heard a moment ago, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith, then, we heard a moment ago, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And chapter 11, listing all of the saints in the past, includes other people. Many others who are not named, including, it mentions women of faith who are not named. Yet the writer of Hebrews, an unknown person, years ago, I remember Myron Augsburger preaching here, he thought it might have been Priscilla, a woman in the New Testament. Nobody knows who the author of the book was. The writer says, yet none of those in the ancient world received what had been promised, since God has something better planned for us. What is this something better? I believe it's a life of faith in God that goes beyond what the ancients understood and longed for. I believe it's the fullness of God's Holy Spirit living within us, the infilling presence of Jesus. Our confession of faith at this church says we believe in the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit of God, who dwelt in Jesus Christ, who empowers the church, who is the source of our life in Christ, and who is poured out on those who believe as a guarantee of our redemption. In our minds, we know there's a great cloud of witnesses. I was thinking about this text last evening. My wife and I drove through Harrisonburg. I drove by the football stadium while the game was underway. Liberty, JMU. There was a great cloud of witnesses in there. A lot of cheering going on. And I was following the game on my phone to see who was winning that game. This cloud of witnesses, from what I can gather, is out there cheering us on, perhaps not watching us or seeing us, as those folks in that stadium didn't see us driving by. But there was a lot of cheering going on in that stadium. We know there was a great cloud of witnesses. But let's talk about our hands. The writer goes on in 12:1 and says, then let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This is the realignment part of the message. We fix our eyes on Jesus, but there are times we need to realign and even pivot our purposes to meet God's intent for our lives. Pivoting may mean repentance, as it has for me in the past, changing direction, or planning a new course. We just heard the story of Noah. He pivoted. He heard God say, build something. He had to change his direction. Several years ago, Zion needed to pivot. March of 2020. What are we talking about? What happened in March of 2020? Anybody name it? The congregational leadership team was meeting in my old classroom at Eastern Mennonite High School. I think it was a Wednesday evening. And we got the word that EMU and Bridgewater had closed for the next day. And I got the word the next morning Eastern Mennonite School was closed. We had to pivot at this church, as did most churches. We soon began meeting online. The next spring, we pivoted again. We changed again to meet in the parking lot as we did that spring, summer, and fall. And finally, by November of 2021, we moved back inside, but with masks and minimal singing. Talk about a major turn of events. We change. We keep our eyes focused on the center in Christ. But change has come along. Here's my story, but I was really struck by that second hymn. In Voices Together, I Sought the Lord. But the 19th century writer says, 'Twas not so much that I on thee took hold as thou, dear Lord, on me. Wow, that writer got it. In King James language, I was found of thee. But at the age of 9, I got up out of my seat in a bench in Ohio and walked down the middle aisle and gave my life to Christ. 2 years later, I was baptized. It struck me that I was baptized only a few, I looked at some dates, only a few weeks before the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 1968 was a tumultuous year, not unlike the year that we live in now. As a middle schooler and a senior in high school, I lived a pretty good public life, but I had some friends and we were doing some things that were not all that good, that were not good. And by the time I arrived at my senior year in high school, I decided to make a pivot and turn back to the center in Christ. I got involved with a coffee house in Hartville, Ohio. I had some friends around me, and I realized that I need to make a change in my life. I went forward in a revival service, rededicated my life, and in the spring, in January of 1974, received what was called then, in that charismatic movement of the early 70s, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a second work of grace. It changed my life. Now, in the early 70s, when I was in high school, it was the era of the emergence of classic rock and roll. Baby boomers know what I'm talking about. I'm not sure the younger generation does. But in the late 60s, early 70s, there were men and women my age and a little bit older who started to get into rock and roll music. They get together their band and their amplifiers, and away they go. And it was loud. And it was rebellious. The lyrics weren't very good. There was a radio station coming out of Cleveland, Ohio, that I listened to a lot. I still tune it in when I drive back into Ohio occasionally. That rock and roll music in the early 70s had wrapped itself around my being. I was into it. I liked the harmonies. I liked the band, the loud music. Three friends and I went up to Cleveland sometime during high school, and we discovered what a big rock concert was all about. I mean, really opened our eyes to the world out there beyond our small Mennonite community. I took my collection of 25, 30 LP albums. If you don't know what an LP album is, look it up. And I took them out one day when my father had a fire going on the barn hill, and one by one I threw them in the fire and melted them down. I needed to make a change, a pivot, to focus again on Jesus. I bought a few more later, and then I began to get into Christian contemporary music and buy other albums. That was my moment of pivoting as a senior in high school and making a dedication again to Christ. I'm calling us today to consider fixing our eyes on Jesus, whatever that means in your life, to pivot toward the good, the right, the best, and to seek God's call. Zion is a centered church where belonging is discerned by one's relationship to the center in Jesus Christ. We invite all to pivot and orient themselves towards Christ, to refocus toward the center, as we've heard. There is space in a centered church to struggle and fail, to turn and find support. Because most of us here, I believe, have the goal of moving closer to the center in Christ. Several years ago, while I was chair of the congregation, Pastor Sarah Piper gave me this book by Mark Baker, Centered Set Church. I highly recommend this book to lay leaders, to anyone who'd like to read it. It really opened up my eyes, and it changed my sort of entire understanding of the nature of church, a centered set church. Baker, a Mennonite brethren professor from California, explains that there are bounded churches with very clear boundaries. You're in or you're out. Correct beliefs. There's a sense of judgmentalism that hinders transparency and tends to shame. Then Baker explains that there are fuzzy churches that erase all the boundary lines, but the church typically loses its identity, lacks a sense of call to a new way of living, and tends toward blandness. Baker explains the centered set church, and it has, in the last several years, changed my understanding of the nature of the church. At the center is Christ, and we are called to it. Some may be walking away for a time, going a different direction, but we are called back to the center in Christ. So we are called with our hands to throw off everything that hinders, if you will, and the sin that so easily entangles. And thirdly, in verse 1 of chapter 12, we're invited to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How can we fix our eyes on Jesus, our call, but yet change or pivot at times as needed towards the center, the reality that I face? Brought along a favorite book of mine, Dr. Seuss. Oh, the places you'll go. Have you all read it? Or been read to? I hope so. If not, check it out. I don't know if you get in the library or not, but get this book. When our grandchildren got of age where I could read them books, I went to the bookstore and bought it. I wanted to have one. It's going to be in the Jeep this week as we drive to Kansas. And I hope to read it again to the kids, grandchildren in Kansas this week. Oh, the places you'll go. Dr. Seuss essentially says, life is an adventure, but challenges are inevitable. Lots of challenges that the little kid has to go through. But you have the power to succeed, Dr. Seuss says. Kid, you'll move mountains. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. The theology of it is run the race with perseverance, marked out for you. I want to invite you to go on a little field trip. Go to the first floor, the basement floor of the Hartzler Library at EMU. Our own Olivia Resto Brown painted these words in the basement of the Hartzler Library on the wall. This is what she painted in the back of the book. Kid, you'll move mountains. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. That's worth a trip down there just to see Olivia's painting. So our gospel story today comes out of Matthew 14. One night, shortly before dawn, the disciples found themselves in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had sent them on ahead, and they sailed in rough waves and strong winds. Peter left aside the relative safety and security of the boat in which they were sailing in the interest of answering Jesus' simple call to follow him. He fixed his eyes on Jesus when his master said, "Come." He stepped out of the boat, walked on water for a bit, but began to sink. Not retreating to the boat, but fixing his eyes on Jesus. "Lord, save me," he cried. But he did not retreat to the boat and fixed his eyes on Jesus. I was pondering whether I'd get a PowerPoint ready together for this message and did a little looking on the internet to see what kind of visuals there would be out there on this gospel story. One AI engine created this image, this story, and they had the disciples in the boat laughing at Peter when he began to sink. Artificial intelligence. And I've been thinking about that. Did those rough-hewn 20-year-old some men begin to chuckle in the boat when Peter started to sink? I don't know. Never thought about that, but that's what artificial intelligence thought when it created an image of that scene. The point is, Peter got out of the boat, began to sink. I don't know how the guys in the boat responded, what they thought. But instead of going back to the boat, security, Peter kept walking forward towards Christ. A good pivot does not win the race or the game, but it creates the space to see the game differently, to envision new strategies, and experience transformation. I listen to a lot of Major League Baseball these days. Follow baseball, what's going on? Grown men have to pivot, run hard. You gotta run if you hit like a ball that's gonna be a double. The other night there was a grown man, paid a lot of money, who's sort of lollygagged around first base, thought he had plenty of time to get to second. The ball came flying in, he made a 180 pivot back to first, and he got a single out of it. Pivots don't necessarily win the race or the game, but it gives us a new outlook on life. During our COVID pivot here at Zion, I came to know younger leaders much better than before. Healthcare workers and educators who had expertise dealing with the pandemic. Our leadership structure was tested because of differing opinions, but we held together, and members stepped up with gifts to share, especially in the area of technology. Recently, I sat with Pastor Sarah Piper to talk about this text and my message and what I was thinking. She wanted to listen to me and help me clarify some things. Just hear what I was thinking. Near the end of our conversation, she said, well, how does this actually apply to you? Where's the dissonance now? Are you making any kind of pivots now in your life that you'd be willing to share with the congregation? So I decided to tell you of an experience I'm going through in the last couple of years. In March of 23, Pastor Lori Friesen invited us to attend a large Valley Interfaith Action event at the Bridgewater Church of the Brethren. I barely found a place to park at that huge church in Bridgewater. 561 people attended. 15 to 20 of us came. Some of you were there. It was the public announcement of VIA's goals, its objectives. And the community found out that VIA is working on affordable child care and door-to-door transportation in Rockingham County and Harrisonburg. Valley Interfaith Action. Since then, I've been going to meetings of Valley Interfaith Action. It's been changing me. I'm not even sure quite in which direction. It's been a good pivot for me. It's a broad-based organization, nonpartisan, multi-issue, volunteer-led power organization made up of dues-paying members in our community. There are some 25 organizations that are part of it, including Zion, six Mennonite churches, groups of other religions. Six Mennonite congregations are part of it. VIA represents over 10,000 people in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. We cross lines that often divide us, including the political, the rural, urban, race, and religious faith, to take action on the common interest and improve the lives of families in our community. At almost every meeting, power is discussed. And I'm listening. As a man, and I'm trying to figure out, what is this being talked about here? Power. How do we use power? We have power. How are we going to use it? 10 days ago, I attended a VIA meeting in the basement of the Otterbein United Methodist Church in Harrisonburg. I sat next to a leader from the Valley Muslim Community Foundation. We introduced ourselves, chatted a bit, discovered we came to the meeting for similar reasons, and I found out that he was a good friend of my brother-in-law, Ben Risser. On Tuesday of this week, this is getting real close to today, Tuesday of this past week, at 8:15 in the morning, I'm standing in the parking lot in Harrisonburg with three other VIA leaders. I'm not necessarily a leader, I'm a lay person involved. I sat there in the parking lot and we were prepping for a meeting with our state elected official in the Virginia House of Delegates. And I backward out a little bit. I said, what in the world am I doing standing here in the parking lot, ready to go in and meet an elected leader to ask for money to help fund childcare and transportation issues? The other three did most of the talking because I'm new to it, but I got a few words in. Our delegate was very aware of our block party. He had driven by and seen all the signs out here. He mentioned that just a little bit. I'm not sure quite how I got there. Maybe it was my gray hair matching that of the delegate that we sat with. Maybe my views on politics and economics, which matched pretty closely to the delegate that we met with, or just Pastor Lori's invitation, maybe all three of those. I'm coming to see that God has introduced a pivotal moment here in my involvement with VIA. I've joined a community organization that gives me new energy and Holy Spirit wind in my sails. The four of us in that meeting, when we talked to our state delegate, offered a drive to Richmond. We'd like to meet the chair of the Appropriations Committee, try to get our money request in the state budget for 2026. It's a long shot, but that's what we asked for. I'd love to take that trip to Richmond. I feel like I've stepped out of the boat and I'm testing some new water. It's been a significant pivot for me. May we fix our eyes on Jesus, as the writer says. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus and discerning when to turn, to refocus, to change our direction, always toward the center in Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.